month of June has been a challenge for us, set forth by Pastor Jamie. Thanks for the challenges. And over the last few weeks, we have received the honor of hearing from folks within our midst testimonies of how God weaved through their entire lives in every circumstance, and how each have come to terms with themselves and reconciliation with God and acceptance of who they are, and the importance of continual growth. I just had to make that plug because we're the church of spiritual enrichment and growth. Because it's so true. You're just never done. I'm sorry. It's a journey. Speaking of, this faith journey and relationship with building God does not end, to reiterate that. It never ends. There's never a point in time when your journey of growth ends. And if you feel that way, there's probably a nudge that you're not feeling yet, but maybe I'm pushing it forward, that you're not done yet. No matter where you are in life, you're never done. Just keep growing and keep moving so we don't stagnation versus circulation. Keep it going. This would be easier if I put these on. I'm just going to take a moment here. Jamie introduced her eye troubles earlier. And I think she's actually celebrating that I'm trying to catch up with her. I'm a few years younger, but every time, like, I'm like, oh, and she'll be like, see? And I don't think it's a, like, see, I told you, like, this is what to expect. I think it's more like, join me in the next stages of life. Join me. It's a celebration. For those on Facebook, the audience said, join us. Like, it's for real. Like, how far? I need a light now in restaurants. I don't yet, but it's coming, I've heard. So I want to take a moment back to reality. I digress. We'll go back. Okay, I'd like to highlight a few items I gleaned over our testimonies. From Shanice, she gave a message of love. And she really brought home that God is love and love is God. And how we can get a false sense of what love is in this world, as we might be, and others around us might be, imperfect. And it begins, because we all have all sorts of baggage and bad habits, and we could equate that to the true love that comes from God. And Shanice talked about how she had to kind of break that and learn what love from God is and how we can implement that in our lives and break the cycles of those bad habits and start anew and afresh. And we do that by focusing on God and focusing on God's love and God's behaviors and how that love is shown. Learning and implementing the different behaviors that Jesus showed us on how to love. And to just break that conditional love cycle, because God's love is unconditional and ever-flowing. She challenged us, and I love this at the end. She said, unapologetically give love to everyone. Agape love, God's love through us. Unapologetically love everyone. And then Steve's message gave us a message, reconciliation with God and self, that God welcomes the prodigal child back into God's fold every single time. Every single time. That God gives us the freedom, and I love that Steve said this, God gives us the freedom. God gives us the freedom to love God and pursue a relationship with God and Jesus Christ the Savior. We have that freedom. We have that choice. That God, from the beginning of time, pursues each and every one of us. So this is the cool thing about God. He gives us the choice to pursue a relationship with God or not. And if you're whistling and going off, God's pursuing you. Because God loves you so much. God yearns for a relationship with you. You know, that yearns, wants to have a relationship with you. Regardless if you do or not. God's a persistent being too. Just keep chasing and keep chasing after you. That a faith family is important to have that accepts all of who each one of us is. That was the second really big thing that I gleaned from Steve. So we help keep each other's embers growing and thriving within this life. Said another way, he challenged us to accept all of each other, enabling each other to embrace all of who they are. Then Jose's message reminded us to love your neighbor as yourself. So we kind of have to accept ourselves for all of what we are so we can fully love our neighbor. See how God kind of planned this and it kind of moves through? Ugh, that God. I was putting it together. I was like, well, God made this really easy to like throw it together. You got to love, then you reconcile with God, and then you love each other. But what Jose, he reminded us to love your neighbor as yourself with arms wide open and a genuine love to everyone. He challenged us to grow closer to God and open ourselves to do a close, honest examination of ourselves so we grow in exhibiting behaviors that exhibit God's character and not the behaviors that exhibit behaviors of an agent of destruction. I don't know if others caught that, but that was a big thing that I underlined in my book. That it's not just to say, love ya, but to do that in depth. What really challenged me this week was thinking about a close examination of ourselves, an honest examination of ourselves, and what behaviors am I exhibiting, and is it to all? Or am I picking and choosing who I exhibit the behaviors of Jesus? Am I picking and choosing who I go part of the way there? Close examination of how I'm treating everybody in exhibiting that love. Embrace each other with arms wide open as our diversity is made as one with God. Our uniqueness is God, our Creator's brush strokes of creativity and beauty. And that's straight from what Jose said. That's a direct quote. I love that. Each other with arms wide open as our diversity is made as one with God, and our uniqueness is our God's creative brush, is God's, the Creator's brush strokes of creativity and beauty. You're each purposely made exactly how you are and who you are to paint the beautiful canvas of God's kingdom. Love that. And Pastor Jamie started us this whole journey with Galatians 3:26 through 29. So I'm going to read that really quick. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Fill in the blank with any other labels you would like to use or that rumble in your head, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that promise was sealed with a rainbow, and it covers us. You imagine a rainbow just covering us all and enveloping us all as one united kingdom, family. One question that she asked us a whole bunch that we had to think about. But the first question and how all those questions tied together is, who are you in Christ? The subsequent questions were, really think about what your story and what led you to who you are in Christ. And then have you shared that so you can help others? But who are you in Christ? As I contemplated the three stories we heard, my own, and the big takeaway I kept thinking of when the Pharisee, and the big question I kept thinking of when I was contemplating that is the question the Pharisees asked Jesus about in Matthew 22, 35 through 40. And the Pharisees were trying to trip up Jesus, but good, because then we got a lesson out of it. And the question was, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Because to the Pharisees, they were living a life of having to follow the law. And Jesus was like kind of breaking some of how they thought the law should be kept. Because the law is good. We're still under the law. Jesus has completed the whole law. At this time, these guys didn't know the rest of the story. They knew what they knew. And then what complicated it was humanness, because then we like to design and problem solve how we're going to do things, and then that's, we add to the law, and then it's, no, that's not how you fold a fitted sheet. You got to start with the corners, and it's wrong if you don't, right? And that's how the Pharisees were, is they only saw one way to fold a fitted sheet, and if you did not do it that way and you ended up with a ball instead of a perfect square, you were wrong, and you were not following the law. It's a funny example, because the fitted sheet, it gets kind of controversial how you're supposed to fold that sucker. Some people, you're not supposed to fold it at all, right? You take it off the bed, you clean it, you put it right back on there. Don't even mess with it. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you even folding the sheet in the first time? But this, it gets you thinking, like, there's a multitude of ways that people handle their folded sheet. And there's a multitude of ways that we could follow different laws. But the Pharisees only saw one way. They were very strict, and that folded sheet better be a perfect square when you're done folding it. And if not, there are consequences. And Jesus is coming and saying, does it really matter? And so they were trying to trip Jesus up and trying to get Jesus to blasphemy, which would be like hugely bad, like one of the biggest laws to break. But we, in that, get to learn from this. Because Jesus replied, and this must have really thrown him for a loop, and it kind of got me again this morning when I was reading this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But there's more. This is where Jesus really threw him for a loop. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And I don't know if anybody's missed that in the Bible before. Equally. Love your God with your whole self, your whole mind, your whole soul. But equally, do the same for each other. If you've missed that in the Bible, and I think I've missed it before, and it really hit me ton this morning, equally, love God and love yourselves. Love each other. Let that sink in for a minute. That means that I need to love God just as much as I love this individual right here. And just as much as that individual and that individual. That we are raised, like God loves us so much, we are raised to the same level of God. Which is incredible, because God is God, right? Like, why, how is that so? How do we have a God that I am to love God and every single one of you equally? That is huge. Love God, love others, equally important. Equally. I tried to figure out a bunch of stuff to say on how that explores, because that's really huge. And so I was led to 1 John. Because everything's right here, right? So I don't need to, like, spin, although I did for a little bit. I'm just going to be honest. But I was re-going through Shanice's stuff, and she brought us to 1 John 4. a snippet. We're going to read more than what she had called out. But 1 John 4:7 through 21, this whole thing is this huge thing about just love. It gets to be a tongue twister every now and then, so I'm going to try to read deliberately. But this expands on what Jesus said in Matthew. It expands and it grows on that. And what's going to be really cool, it's going to circle back at the end on verse 21, and you're going to see correlation, almost exact words of what Jesus said. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love their brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given this command: whoever loves God must also love their brothers and sisters. Love, it's all interconnected. There is a... Regardless, and some of you know a little bit of my story, and I'm not going to tell my whole testimony today because I've said it different times. But when I was somewhere between 15 and 17, my parents took me to a Broadway musical called Les Miserables. And it has been my favorite musical since the first time I've saw it. Now I've seen it like 3 or 4 times whenever it comes around. And part of why I love it is because it is horrific of the circumstances that these characters in this story have to live. There is a lot of struggle and strife. There's a lot of injustices. But weaved throughout it is also opportunities and love and people banding together and people learning and growing. And also example of when somebody realizes that maybe their thought process throughout their entire life was wrong and how they can't handle it, how it's topsy-turvy, and that becomes tragic too. But at the very end, one of the very last words that are spoken before they tie up the musical and bring back all the songs as they do, and it hit me then and it has stayed with me, is to love another is to see the face of God. And I've carried that with me. And when I was doing this, and we just happened to see Les Mis a couple weeks ago when it came through Tampa, because again, favorite musical, not going to ever pass it up. It gets me every time. To love another is to see the face of God. And until this morning, it's always hit me and it's always stayed with me, regardless of where my journey has been, close to God or not close with God, and I remember that. But really, it really hit me this morning of really the degree why. Because of what we've just gone over. God is love, and love is God. And that love is shared through us. It's in us. And it's the best way that we can exhibit God here on earth for those that are having trouble wrapping their mind around a God that they cannot see, that they cannot feel. For an unbeliever to see this agape, perfect love, and see God through you and your interactions, that's how you help another soul get saved. It's not necessarily by reading 1 John 4:7 through 21, or there it's beautiful, and like, this is why you should believe in God. It's not telling them that they're wrong for not, or where they're going to go, if we even have that, how we think we have that ego to judge and tell somebody. It's how you interact with people that will save souls around you that aren't saved. It's how you interact with people that will help somebody that is struggling and going through the strife of life, that will build that faith family that keeps that little ember that fell out of the fireplace and scoop them back up and put them back in and get that flame of life that is only given by Jesus Christ. To love another is to see the face of God. It's always gotten me, but this morning, man, it put it all together for me. Really, why? Because that is God living in you and through you. And we just, like, when you really love somebody and they love you back, you're just tossing a bunch of goodness back forth. It's like the best ping pong game ever. The volley just continues and continues and continues. That's what love is supposed to be like. Love, 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 back and forth. It should be a healthy competition of just loving more and more and more purely and growing that love from that little circle to the next circle, to the next circle, until you're just loving on everybody in every interaction, regardless if you know them or not. So here's how we're going to wrap up. I tried to put all the pieces together. Unapologetically love everyone with arms wide open to enable a revolution of love and relationships with God and each other, embracing all of who each of us are under Christ Jesus, the flame that keeps us united as one large fire of love, one large fire of acceptance, and a peace in a world where this can be difficult and unexpected. See what I did there? I made one giant sentence of the entire month. Unapologetically love everyone with arms wide open to enable a revolution of love and relationships with God and each other, embracing all of who each of us are under Christ Jesus, the flame that keeps us united as one large fire of love, acceptance, and peace in a world where this can be difficult and unexpected. Be love. Show your story through your behaviors to everyone. Amen.